Okay, so here we are, episode one of Educating Technology. Been trying to do this for a while now, but here we are. I'm Matthew Lanier, and I'm with my co-host, Chris Fikes. We are both network admins. Chris has a bit of a different title where he's at, but that's essentially what we are. And we're kind of run the networks of two similarly sized, I wouldn't say large schools, but I also wouldn't say small schools in Southeast Texas. So how you doing, Chris?
Oh, fantastic. How about yourself, Matt?
Well, you know, it's been one of those weeks. Had to deal with a rat that chewed through a fiber cable today, so yeah, it's always good fun.
You got fiber cuts, I got flooding, so I think we're all in a great situation here.
I mean, that's Texas for you. I mean, we all had flooding, what, last year about spring break time, too?
Yes, sir.
A lot of schools had flooding. So it's kind of a good time to start episode one, and we had some things planned to talk about as far as we were going to. With Apple releasing the new iPad at $299, everybody's sparking up the iPad versus Chromebook debate on whether what is better for schools. And we were going to talk about that today, but then Microsoft decided to have an education-focused event. What was it, Tuesday?
Yes, sir.
And they came out with Windows 10 S, which was rumored to be called Windows Cloud, but I'm glad that they didn't go that route. And they came out with a $299 Surface device, which really puts things kind of in line with the Chromebook pricing. And so I think what we're going to do, instead of talking about iPads and Chromebooks this time, we'll shelve that conversation for next time, because it'll kind of tie into this. But let's go over some of these things that Microsoft released on Tuesday. From what I can tell, I mean, you're more of the Microsoft guy than I am. I'm a fanboy of Apple, and you like the Microsoft products. I'm slowly coming around.
Hey, I try to use the correct tool for the job at hand, as long as it doesn't have an Apple logo on it.
Hey, I feel you. I feel you. I wouldn't want to deploy a fleet of Apple laptops or desktops and try to manage them, because that's a hassle. And that will actually come into our conversation next time when we talk about managing iPads versus managing Chromebooks. But so this Windows 10 thing came out, and the two big takeaways that I get are, unless you want to pay $50 more, you are stuck with applications from the Windows Store, and you are stuck with Edge and Bing as your default browser and search engine. So that's three things, not two things. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second here. How, and people like the tech Twitter that I follow are like throwing like their hands up in the air and screaming, this is going to fail because they're limiting to the Windows Store. How is this any different than iPads now?
Well, what I'm seeing a lot of comparisons to is Windows RT, which was actually a completely different animal. It was an ARM-based Windows product that didn't have Win32 capabilities because it didn't support the x86 architecture. Windows 10 S is actually a full x86 operating system supporting the full Win32 programming languages and programming APIs and whatnot, and it's just limited to where the source of these programs come from, being the Windows Store. So in theory, anything can be put in there. In fact, that Microsoft themselves are putting the full x86 version of Office in there within the month, but nothing limits Google, Adobe from putting their applications in there now, because they do have a full Win32 stack. In my opinion, it's actually a really interesting market, because what they're doing is they're integrating their MDM product Intune into everything. So these devices will be managed as far as applications a lot like the Chromebooks, as far as you go in there and you pick through the store what apps you want to allow on there, and they can be forced down to it, not through group policy. It's all through their Intune architecture. It's interesting.
So about the Windows Store, I saw a tweet that said that Windows 10 S was going to be limited to Windows app stores, but then they showed a screenshot of a search from the Windows Store that they did a search for Google Chrome, and it was like filled with like the Chrome icon, and it was guide this and guide that, and it's looked like a whole bunch of fake applications.
And it probably is. It has a lot of the same problems that the Android marketplace suffered from in the beginning. Tons of fake products, tons of people just trying to hit that person. Hey, I got a new Windows 10 PC. I can click store. I want Chrome. Go and look in there. And then they have some fake browser. It's growing pains that they're going to have to suffer through.
So do you think, I know Android has started to take a more of a moderated approach. Do you think that now Windows and Microsoft are going to kind of buckle down and take that moderated approach, kind of like that Apple has done from the very beginning?
Oh, definitely. Microsoft has always been real heavy-handed as far as what security, what kind of applications have access to what different types of the OS within the Windows Store. But they've never really cared about what you call it or what you put the icons on there, because they only had four apps. They needed more apps in there, so they just wanted a bunch of icons filling the store.
Twitter and Facebook just isn't enough. They've got to have more. And so they were just like, well, just anybody. I mean, they were kind of, weren't it at one point they were paying developers to try to develop applications for their store?
Yes, they were paying quite well, actually.
And apparently that still didn't help.
No.
Where's Windows Mobile? Because of that.
I know. There's a sad place. That's a sad story. I don't know if we can get into that today.
But, I mean, even out of all the mobile OSs, I mean, you look at Android, you look at Apple. I mean, Android has widgets, but essentially it's icons on a screen.
Correct.
And iOS is icons on a screen. Windows was tiles on a screen, and they were live tiles, and they were updating. And so they kind of, it was kind of like a widgets, and it was kind of like icons kind of had a baby, and that's what came out. And so it was really kind of intriguing. And then they came out with the Continuum thing that you just loved, that even though Android tried to do that, and that was just horrible. I remember that Motorola Atrium or something that was called.
Atrix. The Motorola Atrix. It was a really underpowered phone with a really bloated Firefox browser.
There, there you go. But it's like, so they have all these great ideas, but they just could never seem to bring really any of it. I mean, they brought it to market, but nothing really ever succeeded. And the main reason for that was because they didn't have Snapchat, and they didn't have Instagram for the longest, but they at least have Instagram now. You got to get the millennials, and the millennials want their Snapchat.
Oh, my. This is true.
And Snapchat, I guess, and all these other apps, I know this really isn't education-based, but it kind of is, but all those apps, because we're going to see it if we start moving to these devices in education, it's like we have to have all of the applications for like our state-mandated testing. All of those have to be in the Windows Store. I mean, we see them in the Chromebook Store, but, I mean, there's some, you would think that if it's in the Chrome Store, it's HTML5, but a lot of times some of those apps are programmed specifically for Chromebooks and not just HTML5.
And you're correct. I mean, and fortunately, the vast majority of those apps, they are just written in JavaScript or a similar language that just translates real well to any platform, because they are trying to play on every market. I mean, heck, if you have Windows, Mac, and Linux support, are you really programming it natively for all of those platforms, especially when we're talking about education software? No, they're programming to the lowest common denominator, which is generally web technologies.
Or Java. Everybody's favorite Java. I can't tell you, I am so sick of pushing out applications for education, and they all have to have a different version of Java.
Hey, well, look on this. Maybe Oracle will actually put Java in the Windows Store and it'll auto-update.
That would be the life, if Java and Flash would auto-update. Flash has gotten better, but now if Java can just, if Java could auto-update and uninstall the old version at the same time, consistently. That's my whole thing. I mean, I guess it kind of goes to, there's really nothing keeping Chrome from being in the Windows Store.
Oh, not at all. And honestly, from using my Lumia 950, I used a lot of the Google apps within Continuum Experience within the Edge browser, which even if Chrome was allowed into the web store, it would not be allowed to be the default web browser with Windows 10S. That is something they are putting in there. But all of the applications ran great in Edge. Honestly, the ones I had some of the problems were Microsoft applications running in Edge, because they were looking for those ActiveX controls, which they did finally cut away.
Microsoft is such a big organization, and they have so much products in the web, it's like they're dragging their feet, and they probably have like this group working on this and this group working on that, and nobody's like talking to each other.
Oh, Microsoft can't break a single thing in Dynamics or SharePoint, or their whole business sinks. But one of the things that we didn't mention about Windows 10S is it's actually free for any education institution to upgrade to from any version of Windows Pro, which goes all the way down to Windows 2000 Professional, which they didn't mention. So it's man, they're just kind of giving it away.
I mean, essentially, when is it going to become free? I mean, Windows 10 was free for a year. I think at some point, even if you had a version of Windows that fell off the back of a truck, you could get Windows 10.
And in fact, right now, if you need accessibility options as far as like screen readers or magnifiers, Windows 10 is still free.
Well, there you go. I mean, Microsoft is really, it's almost like this new CEO, which I'm kind of liking the direction he's going, that he's pushing Microsoft to be more of a service company as opposed to making just Windows. I mean, how long has it just been Windows and Office? But now we're starting to see more and more services like Office 365 and Dynamics and SharePoint. Ugh. And I mean, all these things is, and I mean, just the fact that, I mean, ever since Microsoft threw Apple a bone back in the day in the early 90s or whatever, when was the last time you saw something Microsoft on a stage at an Apple keynote? And when they announced the iPad Pro, they were showing Office on the iPad.
And, you know, and I think that comes down to the fact that Microsoft realizes that they are not the dominant platform anymore, especially when you look at emerging markets. There are more Android devices in the world than there are Windows devices. So they have to support those devices like they are a first-class citizen.
And a lot of times what we're seeing, and I know the school I work at is a rural area, and so a lot of times, I mean, up until recently, I mean, they're running cable now for internet, but up until recently, there has been no internet unless you wanted to pay the high dollar prices for the slow satellite. And so for a lot of these students, their phone on their data plan is their computer. And you hear people talk about that and see people talk about it on Twitter and on podcasts and stuff, but you're like, no, that's not true. People aren't really using their phones as their main computing devices. I'm seeing it. And I didn't believe it until I got here at this job, and that's what these kids do. And so a lot of times that things that we're doing, it's like, well, does it work on mobile? It's like teachers are pushing using Google Classroom and giving assignments over Google Forms and Google Docs and stuff, and it's like, well, does it work on mobile? I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kid typing his term paper on his iPhone in Google Docs.
You'd be surprised. I see it happening here all the time. People, I mean, they may not start the paper on there, but they'll go back in there and make changes and edit it to fix things on their mobile device. I mean, mobile has to be considered first now. I mean, again, there's more mobile devices than there are PCs in the world, so that is the dominant platform. Now, I'm old and I begrudgingly am coming into the mobile for everything. I love my desktops. I love having all that raw power on there.
Absolutely.
You don't really need it.
You can take my iPhone, but leave me my laptop. I mean, if given a choice between one of the two devices, I want the computer.
Oh, as long as it doesn't have an i3 in it, I'm happy.
There you go. So, I mean, but people are throwing this uproar about Edge being the default browser and the apps only coming from the Windows Store. I mean, look at an iPad. An iPad is like, I guess you could say, in some markets, it's the top device in education. A lot of places, it's the second to the Chromebook or whatever. But even then, look at the Chromebook. Chromebook's default browser is Chrome. I mean, it's Chrome OS. Safari is the default browser on the iPad. You can put more browsers on it, but you click a link from Mail or anywhere, it is going to automatically open up in Safari. Why are people throwing such a big deal about Edge when Apple and Google have been doing it all this time?
I think Edge is associated with Internet Explorer, which is why. But going back onto the iOS, you can load other web browsers in there, but they are all the Safari engine. They're all WebKit. They cannot replace the engine. So even the Firefox that's on iOS is still using the WebKit and Safari engine. The same when you go to Chrome OS. You can't even load a different web browser on there. It's Chrome or nothing.
I mean, and yes, you can sideload applications into Chrome. I mean, it's a little bit difficult. You have to turn on like developer mode and all this other stuff. And now with iOS 10, yes, you can sideload applications onto iOS. Granted, you have to have a Mac with Xcode and all those Xcode project files. I mean, there's an application I'm looking into sideloading onto my Apple TV to play emulated games. I mean, it's possible to do it. It's Apple's opened that up for people to learn to develop applications without having to pay the $100 fee for the thing. And so do you think somebody's going to find some backdoor way to sideload applications onto the Windows 10S without going through the store?
Well, once we get Windows 10S in our hands, we'll actually be able to see, because in the control center for Windows 10, there's a developer option that can just be toggled on, and it turns on all of the developer features, regardless of which version it is. So you can do USB debugging, you can do sideloading of apps with or without signatures on it, so you could run anything on there. Whether that's going to work on Windows 10S is something we're just going to have to look at. I can't imagine them leaving it in there, because it would open up a vulnerability that a student could exploit, and they're trying to make this their locked down platform like Chrome OS.
And that is what this is for. It is for education. And a lot of places I've seen on The Verge, it's like Windows 10S has to do this to succeed. Why? I mean, why does it have to do those things? Why can't it just run with Bing and Edge? How is that any different from the Chromebook and the Chrome OS? I mean, it's for education, and that's why Windows 10S was announced at the education event for Microsoft. It's not really being marketed. I mean, and I guess for some people it will work as a consumer device for you to buy at your house if all you're wanting to do is browse the internet and check email, if you want to send pictures to your grandmother and that's all that she really needs. But I mean, I don't get why people in the mainstream media are throwing a big fit about this, because it's almost like they're trying to adapt Windows 10S for something that it wasn't designed for.
And that's how I see it, too. I see Windows 10S as the answer to Google Apps for Education with Chromebooks, as Microsoft's Office 365 for Education with Windows 10S. They're the same animals by two different companies.
I think, too, probably where they're getting this idea, and I think why Microsoft is giving you the ability to do the $50 upgrade, is because Microsoft is basically shoehorning this whole OS on its brand new laptop.
Another thing you got to consider, they had a huge failure with Windows RT.
They did.
That $49 upgrade is a parachute. So if something, if it does catastrophically fail, those machines can just be flipped to Windows 10 Pro without affecting anything of the user already having on there. Because there's still RT devices out there that hadn't got an update in 3 years.
And they're, I mean, I know some school districts have them as paperweights. I mean, because they were really good for nothing. But also, you're saying it's a parachute. It's probably something that Microsoft could just flip the switch at Redmond and be like, okay,
we're sorry, I messed up.
Here's Pro for free.
Exactly.
But I think, too, putting Windows 10S on this new Surface laptop, which it is, I mean, I will say this about the Surface lineup. They are some pretty machines. I mean, they are gorgeous devices. There's some functionality of the Surface Book that I don't like. The Surface Studio is a gorgeous machine that I think is way overpriced and has a very niche market. And the Surface Pro has always been great. I wasn't a real big fan of the keyboard and the kickstand. It just really didn't seem like a lap using device, or as far as like using the keyboard and stuff. It almost like it needed a table. But now that they got this Surface laptop, I mean, that is, and $300, or no, this was the $999,
correct,
right?
They had the partners were able to create the lesser expensive devices with Windows 10S. The Surface laptop was Microsoft's device. Granted, what student is going to go spend $1,000 on a laptop with Windows 10S? So they're not. They're going to go ahead and throw the $49 on top of it, because once you get to those price points, it's negligible, the difference.
Yeah, and so, yeah, because I guess I was wrong in saying that price earlier, but it is the partners, and that's, but I think Microsoft is putting it on this device because it's like, hey, we just announced this new OS, and we just announced this new laptop, so let's kind of encourage the partners to want to be able to use it, so let's put it on our hardware to show them, hey, that it can run on basically anything.
They're showing, hey, this is good enough. We're using it for our flagship hardware.
Let's kind of spin this conversation here to an end. We're going to kind of keep these at 30, 45 minutes or so for our episode lengths. We don't want to overwhelm people, especially us getting started. We don't want to overwhelm ourselves. My thing with Microsoft to me has always been a too little, too late company.
I can agree with that.
I was a Zune owner. Now, don't freak out. I owned a Zune. I liked my Zune. In fact, I love my Zune.
Do you still have your Zune?
I still have my Zune. My Zune still works. And let me tell you why I liked my Zune. And this is my little tangent. Zune, if I remember right, at the time, Zune was the only one that really offered you a music subscription service at the time with the Zune stuff or whatever. And so I paid my $10 a month, and I got my all-you-can-eat music on my Zune or whatever. And it was the only one at the time that came that was reasonably priced that came with a 30 gig hard drive in it that I could put my entire music library at the time. The Zune player was great. I mean, it had a section for games, but it didn't have any games. I guess it could have played movies and videos. I just never really tried because it was just more for music. But it wasn't an iPod, and so it was doomed for failure.
And if we look today, the only MP3 players that still really exist are, well, iPods.
iPods, or your iPhone, because, I mean, it's almost Apple's almost cannibalized the iPod market with the iPhones. But, and then, we mentioned Windows Mobile. I mean, intriguing OS was a completely different interface than what we were seeing. Had all these cool features and these almost, like, I remember the guy in the hat who they let go, demoing Continuum on stage, and I was like, that is the device I want. I want a device that is a phone that I come in, I plug into a dock, and it is a computer. I just want it in the Apple. I just want an Apple one that does it.
Well, and see, I actually ran that as my home desktop. Went for, gosh, 8 months. Continuum was my home PC. And now if they would have just added those little bitty features that they kept dangling the carrot from us about a year down the road, it would have been showstopper. But now, well, Samsung has Dex, and that's what everybody's talking about now.
And so, and Windows Mobile is they're supporting Windows 10 on what, like 3 devices now at this point?
Yeah, about 3.
And it's essentially on its way out. In fact, I even heard today somebody said that they're selling Android phones in the Windows stores in the malls.
And quite honestly, some of the best Android software that I have on my Android device is made by Microsoft. They make a fantastic launcher. They make a fantastic lock screen. Their Office applications work great. Cortana works phenomenal on there. I don't know why they just, I just don't know why they don't just go ahead and jump all in into an Android device. And they could go the route Amazon did and stay out of the Google walled garden, but leave it kind of quasi open for sideloading the Google Play Store and have a very successful market. I mean, Amazon is killing it as far as tablet sales, even though they don't have the Google Play Store.
Yeah, that $50 Fire tablet, my kid loves it. I mean, that's what we bought him. I mean, he'd rather use an iPad than that. But
well, of course, but you're not going to give him the iPad versus that.
No, but and it's a $50 device. If he breaks it, okay, we'll just go buy another one. I mean, it's throwaway money. I mean, they come in a 6-pack.
I know. I mean, what does that say about it? I mean, it's cheaper than the OtterBox.
Yeah, I know. It's cheaper than the case that you buy for it. And so that's kind of my question. Is Windows 10S, is this moving this, even though they said Office 365 for education was free, it's always been free. I guess they added this Teams thing, which is, I guess, their competition with, like, applications like Slack and stuff.
Correct. It's the Skype's Teams renamed to just Teams.
So is creating this low-cost, education-based OS, is it too little too late for Microsoft? Because you're a Google school, I'm a Google school, everybody we know are Google schools. Are we going to go through the trouble to switch?
I don't think we are. And that's where you're correct about it being too little too late. It's a phenomenal product. It's great. But education has already bought into Google, much like they bought into Apple in the early 90s.
But, you know, as long as if we keep having Google Docs malware attacks in the middle of an afternoon on a Wednesday or a Thursday or whatever it was, we may all be switching from Google.
Hey, we could. I mean, and honestly, the transition probably wouldn't be terrible.
And, you know, I actually was listening to one podcast, and they actually mentioned the fact that a lot of schools buy Chromebooks, but then just basically create shortcuts to everything to their Office 365 stuff.
Yeah, in fact, when we first got into Chromebooks, I was probably going to go Office 365, and I had even created an application that just wrapped Office 365 web into a nice little desktop icon for them on their Chromebook. So it's really easy to use a Chromebook in Microsoft services, and that just goes back to them being a service-oriented company now instead of a hardware and software company.
It's like they're making these cool devices, and Office is getting better, and Windows is getting better. It's not the best OS, I don't think, in my opinion, but it is getting Windows 10 is the best version of Windows that they've ever been. I mean, granted, the bar wasn't that high with Windows 8 and Windows Vista, but
Vista, what's that?
Vista. Oh, that's that one that didn't exist.
Oh, okay.
Longhorn, isn't that what that was called?
Yeah, that was Longhorn.
But I mean, so I just don't know. I mean, but they're making all this good stuff, but it to me it seems like it's second place to their services that they're pushing out, Office 365 and all this, and basically trying to get everything on whatever platform. And that's, I think, the direction that they need to go. And, you know, I wish Google's taking that direction. I mean, you can get Google Docs and Google Drive and Gmail and all those other things on iOS devices and Windows devices and stuff like that. But there seems to be one company that doesn't really seem to want to do that. I mean, I know of two Android applications that are made from Apple. One of them is Apple Music, and one of them is to switch from Android to iOS.
You see, I didn't even know that one existed. I only thought it was Apple Music.
Yes, go to the Google Play Store and actually read the reviews based on that application.
I imagine they're golden.
It's always good fun.
Well, and for Microsoft's sake, though, I hope it really isn't too little too late, because we need good competition. Competition is what keeps making our products better.
Me too. And you're exactly right. Competition is what's going to make everybody better. And that's kind of what I am hoping. It's because, like I said, it's like you got the Surface Studio device. It is a gorgeous piece of technology. Yes, it's got some flaws. I think the base and the stand could use a little work, but I mean the big huge touchscreen and the Surface laptops are just, I mean, I just love that kind of sleek industrial look or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm an Apple guy, I like the aluminum look, and but it's almost like Microsoft is pushing the hardware forward, and Apple seems to be falling behind on that. They don't really seem to be innovating on the Mac line as much as they are on the iOS line, but that's a conversation for another day.
Agree.
So, is there anything else with the Microsoft event you wanted to mention? I know they did something with Minecraft. I mean, I think they made that free for education. And Minecraft is great. It has its places. It's not one of my favorite things. To me, it seems like a lot of work and a lot of monotonous, tedious work to go and build and dig and do all this other stuff. And I know that you can basically build a computer inside of Minecraft, from what I understand.
Yeah, but it didn't really translate well into the real world, and it was kind of a half-hearted gift. They only gave it away for a year.
Yeah, that's true. And so I'm assuming that's probably not something that you're going to be providing your kids. You're not going to be running a Minecraft server in your environment so that your kids can, during lunch, connect to Minecraft and build houses out of bricks, out of 8-bit bricks or whatever.
No, but I will give them access to Autodesk Fusion 360.
There you go. Because, I mean, and that's what's great. It's like Autodesk basically gives away everything for free with all their stuff for education. And I've got free Office 365 Pro Plus that I can have on all of my devices and create and edit documents in Microsoft Office. We get free Autodesk applications. We get heavy discounts on Mac Pro software, and so, I mean, there's good things about working education, so, and then there's not so good things about education, like lack of funding and $43 in a tech budget.
Which is actually true. That's exactly how much is left in my hardware budget for the year.
There you go, $43. But that is also after you started a one-to-one program, so we can't really complain too much.
True, and it was for Chromebooks.
Wars for Chromebooks. So I guess that is it. We just kind of wanted to do a quick first episode. We'll get our feet wet and do better with this as we go. We'll see how it goes. But it was kind of perfect timing, Microsoft having their education event and us kind of starting this podcast. Basically, that's going to focus on education technology. And if you listen to the preview episode, I did mention we would do like tech news and we would do a topic. Well, we really wanted to talk about the Microsoft stuff today, and so we're going to shelve our topic for next time. And we've been working on a Google Doc sheet with a whole bunch of topics, and we got some good stuff coming up, and a lot of gripes and complaints, and mostly me griping about Windows, because I'm starting my Windows 10 rollout, and I'm starting with the most obvious choice to put new computers with Windows 10, and that's the cafeteria serving lines. So that is where I'm starting my Windows 10 rollout. Of course, that's non-Surface devices, because, I mean, who would put Windows 7 on a Surface device? I mean, it's just like, it's blasphemy. So I have a handful of Surface devices here, but as far as, like, other users, starting with the cafeteria serving line, the people that do one application, so they get Windows 10 first.
Heck yeah, only one application to break.
So you can find Chris on Twitter at Feeks, F-E-E-K-E-S. I'm at Twist of Matt on Twitter, Twist of Matt. We have a Educating Tech is the Twitter for our show, educatingtech.net. You can find show notes, links to our bios or whatever, links to the shows, information on how to subscribe to our podcast. And we'll go from there. So we'll see you next time. See you later, Chris.
See you later, Matt.